1913. The future of society will be determined by the youth of today. Satan is making earnest, persevering efforts to corrupt the mind and to debase the character of every youth. And while you, my brothers and sisters, are unconscious of his work, Satan is gathering an army of youth under his banner, and he exalts, for through them he carries on his warfare against God. The Bible says that before the return of Christ, there will be natural calamities such as have never been seen in the history of the world. They're talked about in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Go there with me, please. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. I'm not here to scare you today. I'm here just to give you some truth. The Bible says in Revelation, matter of fact, just keep your Bible in Revelation, because we're going to go just basically through the book of Revelation. And after these things, I saw four. How many, everybody? I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. They were holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. The angels were prepared to let go the winds of strife. There will come a time, my friends, when the angels of God will cease to hold in check the fierce winds of natural calamities. And the Bible says it will take place when God's children have been sealed in their forehead. Thus, I reiterate that before the return of Christ, there will be natural calamities such as we have not seen. Jesus describes it this way. He says there will be signs in the sky and in the winds and in the billows and in the waves. Men's heart will be failing them for fear and for looking for those things that are to come upon the earth. Before the return of Jesus, the world will enforce the mark of the beast. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13, the Bible says, starting in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. And he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all. How many, everybody? He causes all. How many? He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except those that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The Bible says that before the return of Jesus Christ, the world, not just America, not just parts of the Islamic nations, but the world will enforce the mark of the beast. The Bible says that before the return of Jesus, the seven last plagues will fall. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 1. Revelation 16 and verse 1, look what the Bible says. My Bible says, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And there went, and poured out his vow. The Bible says, and poured out his vow. Thank God for computers. Poured out his vow upon the earth, verse 2. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vow upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. Third angel poured out his vow upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became his blood. And I heard the angels of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and of prophets, and you've given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the sun was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which had power over the plagues, and they refused to repent or to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues in pain. But they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and they refused to repent of their deeds. And the sixth angel, I'll hold right there. The Bible tells us that before the return of Jesus, the seven last plagues will fall. But then the Bible says, follow it now, that before the return of Jesus, the world will be deceived by the miracle working power of Satan. Stay in Revelation 16. We're going to start in verse 12. The Bible says, through the mouth of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus himself said that before he comes in the clouds of glory, there will arise false Christs and false prophets. They will show signs and wonders of such magnitude that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. I want you to get this now. The Bible gives us insight into the types of miracles that will be performed. One miracle is listed in Revelation 13. We read it a moment ago. And he causes fire to come down in the sight of men. And he's able to deceive them to dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he is able to perform. And he tells them to make an image unto the beast which had the wound by the sword but continued to live. He causes all through his miracles to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Through his miracles, he made it so that nobody could buy or sell except those that had the mark of the beast or the number of his name. Through his miracles, he was able to deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. Through his miracles, he was able to bewitch the world and to place humanity in a trance. And then the Bible talks about what his plans are. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 14. Look what it says. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and unto the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. I want you to get this now. The Bible says that before the return of Jesus, there will be signs and lying wonders. Before the return of Jesus, there will be three unclean spirits like frogs working all kinds of miracles. What is your purpose, Satan? The purpose is simple. I must deceive the world so that I can gather them together for the battle of the great day of God Almighty. My friends, we live in what is referred to as a pluralistic society. And because of that reality, there are certain fears that we have. So we live in a society, let me make sure, because some folks may not be familiar with the term pluralistic. We live in a society, we live in a world today where everyone has different beliefs. Okay? You believe one way, they believe another way, they believe another way. So we don't want to offend or insult anybody. So we tell people, you know, you can believe what you believe, how you believe, and I'll believe what I believe, and we're all going to be okay. But the Bible makes it plain that there are only two sets of beliefs that exist in this world. And when the dust settles, there will be only two groups of individuals. those who believe in Jesus and are willing to follow him to death if necessary, and those who believe not and who will wander after the beast and receive his mark. And the Bible says that those who believe not are ultimately going to unite with the rest of the world in the battle of the great day of God Almighty. I want you to get this now. And the more we move as a society, as a nation, as a world, I want you to notice now, we are beginning to become melded together as one world. If I had preached this same sermon 100 years ago, people would have looked at me like I was crazy. But we now live, and it's realistic, where whatever happens in one part of the world affects the rest of the world. So you go into a building and you shoot up people in France, it now has ripple effects all the way in the United States of America. Are you with me now? And the response to these things is now a global response. So we no longer view ourselves as independent nations, but now the understanding is we are one world that is in this thing together. Help me, Jesus. And so if I can deceive one nation, then the rest of the world will unite in together with that one nation under deception. It's coming to pass before our very eyes. The Bible says from the word of God that Satan will work these signs and lying wonders, and the magic and sorcery and witchcraft that we have become so accustomed to beholding. The magic, witchcraft, and sorcery that we've become so accustomed to beholding is just but one additional trick in Satan's arsenal to deceive us. I have to tell you to do this. You have to read the last several chapters of the book, Great Controversy. And there's a chapter in there that's called, Can the Dead Speak to Us? Because no matter what religion you are a part of, Buddhist, Hindu, or Christian, Muslim, or whatever, the understanding is the immortality of the soul. Very simple. Every religion believes that when you die, you go to heaven. Thus, every religion has prepared themselves to receive messages from people beyond the grave. Talk to me, Jesus. Talk to me, Jesus. Every religion has prepared itself to receive messages from people beyond the grave. So I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the false prophets. What are they, preacher? They are the spirits of devils that are going to be working miracles to deceive them that dwell upon the earth. Just the other day, I was watching a commercial on YouTube, and it was the commercial that Apple had come out with last year about the little girl, well, the teenage girl, who found a record that her grandmother had made while her grandfather was serving in World War II. And Brother Rucker, that picture that the mother was looking, the grandmother was looking at as she was listening to the song that she had sang to her man 60 years ago, my grandfather has that exact picture, the same uniform, and everything. And when I saw that thing, man, I didn't even realize how much I had missed him, and it just caught me then, and I teared up, and my kids looked, they said, Dad, are you crying? I said, no, I'm not crying. It's all right. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay now. I can tell the truth now. I can tell the truth now. But the truth, I want y'all to get this now. The truth of the matter is this right here. How difficult would it be for a Seventh-day Adventist preacher who has preached the state of the dead 250 billion times, if my grandfather walks through that door, same look, same voice, same smell, same touch. The one who taught me how to teach many of these doctrines. How challenging would it be for that Seventh-day Adventist preacher if my grandfather says to me, Bobby, or matter of fact, as he used to always do, I have an uncle named Earl, so I can hear him right now. Earl, Bobby rather. That's what he used to always get my name mixed up with Earl. Earl. What happens if he walks into that room and he sits down next to me and I'm telling him, the Bible says the living know they shall die, but they don't. And he says, Bobby, I know that, but the Lord sent me here to tell you that I have a special message for you. Get thee behind me, Satan, but he doesn't move. Bobby, I'm not Satan. I've come with a very special message for you. You didn't understand in the scriptures when it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Bobby, you missed that. And God wants me to share that with you because he's got a special work for you to do. And I'm sitting there, tears streaming down my face, wrestling with these very truths that I've been preaching for years. It's going to happen, my friends. All of us are going to be tried by fire. Tried by fire. And all of a sudden, at that time, the gold will be separated from the dross. Those who are truly the reflection of Christ will be separated from the appearance and tinsel of it. And many a star whom we've admired for its brilliance is going to go out in darkness because of those great deceptions. And if it were possible, he would deceive even the 144,000, the elect. Are you with me out there, my friends? Matter of fact, the deceptions are going to be so great. Jesus said, and I'm going to get back to my message. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the deception from Satan in the last days is going to be so powerful that Jesus is going to have to cut the days short or no flesh would be saved. Go back and read Matthew 24. He says, unless those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. He did not say no flesh would be left alive. See, well, the first time I read it, I thought that it was that no flesh would be left alive. It'd be so much wars and rumors of wars and calamities, everybody would be dead. But that's not what he's saying. He said no flesh would be saved. Loss! But out of mercy, he has to cut it short. Are y'all with me out there, my friends? And so the Bible says that there will be signs and lying wonders. Satan pretending to be Jesus, and the world will wander after the beast. He will sit in the very place of God pretending that he is God. And the world will say, wow, I've never seen it on this magnitude before. Because we have become so accustomed to the new, the startling, the bizarre, that which tantalizes our senses, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our taste, our touch. And now it ain't real unless I can feel it. It's not real unless I can see it. It's not real unless I can hear it. And all of these things that are taking place in our world is an assault on the word of God. I've told y'all before. I'm so sorry, man. The Lord's just putting this stuff on me right now. I told y'all before. They did a study among Seventh-day Adventists. And the majority of Seventh-day Adventists, the overwhelming majority, I'm talking about 90-some percent, believe that homosexuality is wrong. So what they began to do then was they began to identify people who have children or very close loved ones who are homosexuals in their families. Then the number begins to go way down. All of a sudden, it's no longer as sinful as it was when it was just a generic person out there, but once it becomes my son, my daughter, my child, there's something in me that needs to defend it because my child, my daughter, my loved one is not messed up. Are y'all with me out there, my friends? They're not an abomination. And slowly but surely, the word of God gets chiseled away at. And all Satan needs is just an entering wedge to begin to cause us to question and to doubt the word of God. The scriptures are our only safeguard. When Jesus was fighting against the devil in the wilderness, Jesus did not go into some philosophical argument with the devil. He did not say, Satan, Now, you and I both know that bread and rocks are made from two very different elements on the periodic table. Now, it would be irrational. He did not. All he said was, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It is written, it is written, it is written. And unless he stood on the Bible, Jesus Christ himself would have fallen. His victory was in the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Got to stand on that word. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Standing on the promises of God. Before Jesus returns, the world will unite to fight against God. The Bible tells me in Revelation chapter 16, and now I'm in verse 12 again, and then the sixth angel poured out his vow upon the great river Euphrates. And the waters thereof were dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place which is called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, when the nations unite against God and to do battle with Jesus. The only word that can describe such a deceptive and cataclysmic event is Armageddon. Armageddon. And when the battle of Armageddon takes place at the return of Jesus in the clouds of glory, I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to be on the Lord's side. The Bible says that all these events of the last days transpires so that the world can be caught up in a system of spiritual confusion called Babylon. And next week we're going to talk about come out of her, my people, that you do not partake of her sins and so that you do not receive of her plagues. We're going to talk about that next week. But I want to let you know as I close today, we have a sure word of prophecy. And prophetic inspiration tells us there will be natural calamities. There will be economic calamities. There will be moral calamities. There will even be a mini time of trouble. This will be followed by the world desperately searching for answers and desperately searching for solutions, as the world is doing right now. We need to come together and come up with solutions, but nobody wants to go to the Word of God for the solutions. They're running to and fro. But they will not turn to the Word of God. They don't know that the only answer is in the Word of God. So they put on coats, but they're never warm enough. They eat bread, but they can never get full. They take their money and they put it into pockets, and the pockets have holes. They run away from the bear that's out inside the wilderness. But when they get into their house and lean against the wall, they're bitten by a serpent. Can't find an answer. Because the only answer is in the Word of God. The flower may fade, the grass may wither, but the Word of God shall stand forever. The Bible tells us that the day is coming, that as the world is seeking for these solutions, Revelation 13 says that Satan will personate Jesus and prove his claims with signs and lying wonders, even causing fire to come down from heaven. I've got the answer, but the answer is a lie, Satan. Satan, you have an answer, but that answer you have is a lie. Satan, posing as Jesus, will claim that God's people are responsible for all the suffering and the calamities because they refuse to observe the Lord's day. There will be a universal acceptance of Sunday sacredness, and this will lay the foundation for the mark of the beast. I want y'all to get this now. Are you following me? As Satan says, and you say, well, preacher, that sounds so bizarre. Is it bizarre? Is it as bizarre as a man who was going around healing people, opening the eyes of the blind, restoring mobility to the lame, and casting out demons? Is it crazy to believe that he would have been accused of being an insurrectionist? Hold on. Make sure I get this right. Is Satan able to deceive people so much in just a moment? Is he able to deceive people so fast that on Sunday they're crying, crown him king, crown him king? And on Friday they're crying, crucify him. Is he able to work that fast? Is he able to work so fast? Do we have proof that Satan can deceive people in such quickness and with such power that the man who healed their loved ones, they want to crucify, and the man who robbed their mama, they say, let him go. Don't tell me, these last days, these preachers try to make it seem the last days are going to be all this, that, and the other. What I'm telling you, my friends, is we know it can happen because it's happened before. The man that heals your loved one is crucified. The man that robbed your mama, let him go. They've done it before. And if they've done it before, they will do it again. They've been deceived before. They will be deceived again. And saints of the living God, if we are not rooted and grounded in the word of God, we will be deceived. But I came by here to give you some good news. Under the power of the latter rain, stick with me. I'm not going to go deep in this because next week I got to tell you something. Under the power of the latter rain, God's remnant people will be calling all of these miraculous signs as the work of the devil. And we will be calling people out of Babylon. And while God is pouring out his latter rain blessing, Satan will breathe his spirit on his people. And we unite them against God and God's word. And the most terrifying thing I've ever read in the book, early writing, Sister White describes a scene where the people of God were coming together to pray for the outpouring of the latter rain. Some were sincere, some were just playing games. Some were Adventists who only come to church on Sabbath morning because it's a part of their ritual. Others were really trying to get to heaven. She says the ones who were really trying to get to heaven, Jesus breathed on them and they rose up under the power of the latter rain to do God's holy bidding. She says, but then there was a group of individuals playing games. I'm paraphrasing it for myself now. They were just there playing games. She says, and Satan came and breathed on them and they thought that it was the power of the Holy Spirit. The world will unite. The world will unite. They will draw a line in the sand, which will lead to the full enforcement of the mark of the beast, where nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast or the number of his name. The simple question today is this: what are we doing as a church to help the world get prepared for these last days? Knowing the intensity of the drama of the last days, what are we doing to get ourselves prepared? What are we doing to get the world prepared? General Conference, as the music begins to play. General Conference, Daily Bulletin, July 29, 1893. We have an army of youth today who can do much if they are properly directed and encouraged. We want our children to believe the truth. I hope anyway. We want them to be blessed of God. We want them to act a part in well-organized plans for helping other youth. Let all be so trained that they may rightly represent the truth, giving the reason of the hope that is within them and honoring God in any branch of work where they are qualified to labor. So I ask you again, what are we doing as a church to help the world prepare for these last days? Review and Herald, 1887. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask than our earthly parents that give good gifts to their children. But it is our work by confession, by humiliation, by repentance, and by earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us His blessings. A revival can only be expected in answer to prayer. So my question is very simple. What are we doing as a church to help this world prepare for the last days? Early Writings, page 71. I saw many were neglecting the preparation so needful and were looking to the time of refreshing and the latter rain to fit them to stand in the day of the Lord and to live in His sight. Oh, how many I saw in the time of trouble without a shelter. They had neglected the need for preparation. Therefore, they could not receive the refreshing that all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. I saw that none could share the refreshing unless they obtained the victory over every besetment, over pride, over selfishness, over love of the world, and over every wrong word and action. We should therefore be drawing nearer and nearer to the Lord and be earnestly seeking that preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Let all remember that God is holy and that none but the holy beings can ever dwell in His presence. So I ask you one last time, what are we doing as a church to prepare for these last days? What are we doing as a church? I'll talk about this a little more next week. To prepare for the latter rain. What are we doing as a church? I'll talk about this a little bit more next week as well. To prepare for the loud cry. What are we doing as a church? What are you doing? What did you do this week to get ready for the coming of Jesus? What did you do? What did I do? What did y'all, what did we do to get ready for the coming of Jesus? Satan knows that his time is short. And we see what he does when he's desperate. We saw on that Friday afternoon when he was desperate, the measures that he was willing to take to break Jesus. And we look throughout the book of Acts and we see the measures that he's willing to take to break Jesus' disciples. He knows that he has but a short time. And while we are laughing and joking and playing church, Satan is serious. Are we shucking and jiving and arguing over this, that, and the other? Satan is serious. While we are huddled up in our little cliques, debating about the temperature in the church. I don't know why they don't turn the air conditioner on early if they know it's going to be hot outside. I'm not joking this morning, y'all. I'm dead serious. Who back there at the sound booth? They need to turn that down sometime. Folk out there going to hell. We arguing about the volume of the speakers. Sorry about that. Folk out there going to hell. I'm serious about it. I want y'all to get this. Folk out there going to hell. And we out here arguing about whether we should use the conference tithe envelopes or whether we should have our own tithe envelopes. Folk going to hell. Satan is marshaling an army of young people who believe in everything but the Bible. And you can believe in everything but the Bible. If you say, you know I'm telling the truth. If you say that you believe in gay marriage, that's okay. You believe that everybody, whether they're crazy, dumb, or whatever, can own a gun, they'll pat you on your back. You all right? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that His Bible is true.
Oh, no, that's outdated. That's what medical society up, blah, blah, blah.
And we sitting in here arguing about window panes. There's a world literally dying all around us. When are we going to get serious? At what point do we wake up, church, and say, man, it's really time to get serious? At what point do we say, you know, it's really time to get serious? Every and any little thing distracts us from coming to God's church. Every little Christmas party, birthday party, we miss everything. On Sabbath, we're willing to miss everything to not come to church. Graduations, high school, homecomings, reunions. We let our kids go out on Friday night to the proms and everything else. And we scratch our head. Why are my kids ungodly? I don't know why they don't come to church. I remember when the young people used to come to church. Yeah, they would still be coming to church if you wouldn't sit up there letting them go to proms on Friday night. And you were sitting up there defending and petting them on the back when they were dating all these worldly boyfriends and girlfriends. Maybe they'd still be coming to church. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm done. This thing about to get real up in here. This thing, Jesus has shown us in his word, this thing is about to get real up in here. And it's time for the people of God to get real up in here. And to put aside the earthly, the worldly, the mundane, the foolishness, the pettiness, and to get focused on the word of God. Every Tuesday night, Elder Prochet, we come here, we study Bible prophecy. We're going through because we want to know what every one of those symbols represent and its significance as we prepare for the last days. And you'd be doing good if you can get 5 people in here. You say, well, where are you at on Tuesday night? They're studying Bible prophecy. What you doing on Tuesday night? Well, I was just sitting at home watching TV. What you doing on Sabbath morning when the prayer service is going on? Huh? What you doing on Wednesday nights when they're having a Wellness Wednesdays? Well, when do you have time for God? Well, I can get to church at 11:30, but y'all got to have me out of there by 1. I can get there for 11:30, but y'all got to get me out of there by 1 o'clock. My Father, my God, we know that you have equipped us with everything for our eternal salvation. And every trap and every snare that Satan is planning to set in these last days, you have already given us the victory and given us the roadmap so that we can overcome. I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you will help us to take advantage of these wonderful opportunities that you have given us. Help us, oh God, to realize that there is a heaven to win and a hell to shun. Help us to realize that eternal interests are at stake here. Help us, as the songwriter says, to draw nearer to you. This is our prayer. This morning, I'm going to make a very simple appeal. I want to make a very simple appeal. There's someone here this morning that wants to say, Jesus, I realize that we are but a few moments away from the second coming of Jesus. And if I go into these last days the way I am right now, I doubt very seriously that I'm going to be able to stand for you. So make me anew. If that's your prayer and your desire, I want you just to stand where you are. Lord, I see how serious these last days are. Make me anew.